Good morning. Welcome to the Dave Fox Show Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas, and Jamie and I are glad to have everybody tuning in this morning, aren't we, Jamie?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Yep. I mean, we don't want to be talking to dead air space, right?
No.
Okay.
Although we would never know.
That's true.
Until later.
Yeah.
When the radio station
calls
us.
Well, hopefully somebody's out there listening.
Yeah.
Because we have a good show on store today.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
What is it?
Well, we're going to be talking about outdoor living spaces.
Okay. Good time of year for that.
I know. Kind of making those outdoor oases.
Yeah. Right. For us, not the bugs, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about bugs a little bit. Because bugs can be very, very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter bees, wasps,
All
that stuff. Flies.
I actually saw something yesterday that you can buy these like fake wasp nests.
Yeah.
They're just basically in the shape of a wasp nest.
Yeah.
And wasps are apparently very territorial. So if they already see a wasp nest there, they won't come nowhere near that area.
No kidding.
Yeah. I thought that was fascinating. Huh. I didn't know they were so territorial, but they will not go anywhere near another wasp nest.
Interesting. They must have like feuds and battles and stuff.
I guess so. Who knew? Okay. There you go.
Well, all right, so we're talking outdoor living,
And
we want to invite everybody to our website, stavefox.com. There we have some nice pictures of outdoor living spaces, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
And a ton of pictures of other types of remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, let's start outside.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about bugs, and it got me thinking, gosh, I cannot for the life of me remember the brand, but we actually got last summer a little bug. It's not really a bug zapper. It starts with a D, the brand. I think we actually got it at Costco. But it's a little thing that sits outside and you turn it on and it runs like a little faint fan type of noise, and It has a blue light, and it kind of, it's like a bug zapper, I guess, but it really works. It definitely, we noticed, because the way our patio is, there's trees actually all around it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a fair amount of bugs because of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely did pretty good. I also recently saw this bug repellent blanket.
Really?
That I thought was kind of interesting. I kind of want to try
it. That's like chemicals and stuff in it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a natural fiber, so it must maybe some sort of fiber that bugs are repellent to in some capacity. But I was like, that's kind of an interesting, for those cool nights, you know? But
so have you had a lot of carpenter bees flying around your house? The big, big black with the yellow jacket on.
I don't think we do, because we have a lot, not near our house. We have a lot of those, I don't know the name of them, but they're purple flowers that are really big bee attractors in the back of our yard.
Okay.
And so it doesn't seem like they come to our patio very much, but like our fire pit area that's more back towards there, we find them more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you have any wood framing around your house or a wood deck or anything like that, these carpenter bees this spring have just been crazy.
Really?
So I was watching a YouTube video and a guy sprayed permethrin, P-E-R-M-E-T-H-R-I-N, and he sprayed his whole deck down, and 3 weeks later there's still no carpenter bees there.
Wow.
It just boom, disappeared.
Yeah.
So I got some and tried it on our deck around the house where the bees were just flying like crazy. So
yeah,
I sprayed it. You got to do it, you know, early in the morning when it's cool, or late at night. So I did, and I mean, they all disappeared. There was like one that showed up.
That's crazy.
And it's supposed to last 3 weeks. So I bought a gallon of the stuff.
Yeah.
And down by the horses, I'm going to spray a bunch of stuff down there.
Oh, yeah. There's always a lot of bees by horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, we must not get the carpenter ants, because we have a stucco house, no wood deck.
Yeah.
So there's not a ton of attractable wood.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But yeah, I mean, bugs are definitely something to take into consideration with the outdoors. You know, it's funny. I don't know if it was COVID, we were at home so much, or what the shift was, but you can definitely tell there's been a shift in society, at least here in Central Ohio, of the value people put on their outdoor living space and kind of, you know, quantifying that as part of their home.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make it as homey as possible.
Yeah. And this is the prime time for around here, you know.
Oh, yeah. Especially because the bugs really, other than carpenter bees, aren't quite out yet.
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. But I think, too, you know, the way you think about your outside area, it used to be, I feel like growing up, all you ever had outside was your dining table and chairs. And that was kind of all you did outside.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's much more like lounge seating outside.
Yes, definitely.
And it was not like something that people did. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and I'm trying to think of the outdoors at our homes. And I don't remember ever having a couch outside,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just a shift that's been kind of gradually happening. And then I think with COVID, when we were all stuck inside, we kind of really valued our outside time.
Yeah, I think they're making a lot of cushions and fabrics that make that work.
You know,
it used to be it was just all wicker.
Yes. Right?
Or steel or aluminum. But now there's a lot of, you know, the thing is you got to keep them covered. So my wife is really good about that. You know, we have a really nice, outdoor furniture arrangement.
Yeah.
Right by our entry into the great room. And she keeps that covered all the time. And when we have company over, or it's nice, it's not going to rain for 3 or 4 days, she'll pull it off, and it is very nice.
Yeah, we have a kind of a, what's it called, like a deck box thing that we put our cushions in. Mm-hmm. We're pretty good about doing that. But I will say I'm very interested. Have you heard of the company Outer?
No.
So we do so much advertising on here for other companies. We should reach out and get paid for them. Yeah. But I saw them actually on Shark Tank years ago. But it's an outdoor furniture company, and it's like occasional seating, and it has built-in covers.
Oh, nice.
So the cover just kind of sits behind the cushion, and you wrap it up over top of it, and Velcros to the front. I'm like,
that's perfect for around
it's
here.
It's so expensive.
Yeah. Oh, expensive?
Oh, it's so expensive. But, man, is it enticing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that with our weather, I mean, if you just leave it exposed,
this
stuff's going to be destroyed.
I know. I was looking at it because, it has a 10-year warranty too, which is pretty good for outdoor furniture. But it's so true because, like, for us, we especially love to spend our mornings in the summer outside. I mean, that's the kids will bring their iPads out. We sit out there with our coffee, and it's like our favorite thing. And it's definitely, it's like our extended living space in the summer.
So my wife and I were driving around, and we went by the Miller Furniture Store on 161.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw this outdoor swing that she just looked so nice. So we drive up there, and it's made out of this synthetic material, so it's totally weatherproof and everything.
Yeah.
Really beautiful swing set. I kind of drove by it. I could see a price sticker, $1,039.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that's really reasonable for that whole thing. So we go in the store, and a clerk comes out with us, one of their salespeople, and there's three price stickers on there. One is for the A-frame that holds the swing, one's for the swing itself, and one's for the canopy over it.
Yeah. So probably another one for the cushions.
All together, it was like $2,600.
Wow.
$2,800. But my wife, bless her heart, I just can't say no to her.
Oh, I was going to say, now you know what to get her for Mother's Day.
Well, I said, well, honey, your birthday's coming up. Oh, really? Aww. Will you do this? I said, yes. So we ordered that thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, outdoor, totally weatherproof. It's got a real kind of a high sheen finish on it, so it shouldn't have stuff stick to it a lot.
Yeah.
And she has the perfect spot where she wants to put it. So,
That's like remodeling, right? The price tag is always sticker shock, but it's like worth the enjoyment that you get out of it.
So maybe we should show the price tag of like a vanity and sink enclosure. Oh, you want a bathtub remodel too? Oh, you want the shower too?
I mean, that's that category pricing, right?
Okay. Well, we do not do that with our clients. We are realistic with budgets because that's really important. You need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I got kind of led into this, but we don't do that to people.
That's right.
We just tell them the whole price, and after we pick them up off the floor, they move forward. Okay, we're
going
to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Gary Demas. You're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show right here on 610 WTBN or on a podcast somewhere out in the world. And Jamie's here, ready to go. We're talking outdoor living, Jamie. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful time of year to do that.
Yeah.
We get rains occasionally, which are important to keep the green grass growing.
Yeah.
and all the flowers and the gardens that are starting to go in.
I know.
So,
have you mulched yet?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did some mulching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. We still need to do mulch, and I'm at this point, I'm wondering if we should just wait until like it's almost June, so all the spring leaves and stuff fall.
Yeah.
And then we can cover it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do it early and then everything falls and mm-hmm. it covers
it back
up.
So if you're putting mulch around bushes and shrubs and stuff, like some things need a high pH level, some things need a low pH level of soil.
Yeah.
So blueberries, I have some blueberry bushes and they need very low pH, like 4.5 to 5.
Interesting.
So I wouldn't want to put any kind of mulch over those. The pine mulch is best because it kind of naturally acidifies the soil.
Interesting.
But I do, you know, I like around the property, if I'm cutting a tree down, I have a chipper and chip it all up and kind of make my own mulch. Mm-hmm. But I had to be careful where I put that because certain woods and certain plants don't go together well.
Gosh, the outdoors are so...
They don't get along well together.
To me, outdoors are almost like baking. It's such like a specific science. And I kind of more like to fly by the seat of my pants with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm not very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you have, I mean, people that grow specialty plants or bushes or something, they're probably going to know what pH level is good for those plants, and they'll pick an appropriate mulch that'll kind of help.
I mean, I love looking at it, but it is not my forte with maintaining it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, but it's beautiful when it's all done well.
Yeah. So the black mulch, which is what everybody loves.
Yeah.
You know, it looks beautiful when you put it down. And then when light leaves start falling on it, it shows up so
It shows
much.
Everything. Yeah.
So I actually prefer more of a wood look mulch because you don't see all those little things falling on it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But yeah, I mean, talking about outdoor living spaces, kind of going back to those and that occasional seating. You know, like I said, growing up, I can remember our table that we had outside and that was it. But now I think, you know, of most homes we go to, they have the table, they have all the chairs. There's usually some sort of occasional seating. Fire pits got very popular. There was one in our yard before we moved in.
Yeah.
So we have 6 chairs around that too. It's a lot of outdoor furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And outdoor furniture is very expensive too. But the part before any of that is you have to actually build what it's all sitting on.
Yeah.
And kind of create that atmosphere and kind of think through the flow of things and everything like that. Because whether you're doing kind of going all out and going to have an outdoor kitchen, or if you're just going to simply have a grill sitting outside, where that grill goes, you know, definitely needs to be part of your plan. Because it's a tough thing. It's like this thing you don't necessarily want to look at from inside your house.
Yeah.
And you don't really want it up against the house, because I've seen before where you can kind of see the smoke stains stain the house.
Yeah.
And you got to find a spot for it, and it can be a little tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what I would recommend is a pellet smoker.
Yeah.
Because it's all wire. I mean, you would need to run electricity to it.
Yeah.
Out on your patio, but. I mean, you can start it from your phone. You can control the temperature by your phone. You can turn it off from your phone. If you want to smoke something all night long, if you wake up in the middle of the night.
What if you just want to, like, grill hot dogs?
Then you just turn it on.
Grill hot dogs.
Turn it on, let it warm up. And it almost doesn't burn meat at all. I mean,
really?
You can overcook meat and not ruin it just because it's not a direct flame.
Yeah. I know. See, I always like kind of that charred taste.
But you'll have
you do have that charred taste?
Yep.
Okay.
It's got the char-grilled taste. Cooks food much more evenly.
Yeah.
It's convenient. You just fill the hopper with all the pellets. And
interesting.
They're amazing.
That is cool.
Yep.
I know. At our old house, we had a gas line run to the grill, which was really nice.
Yep.
This house didn't have that already built in, so, you know, we just have the propane and... It is definitely, you're kind of like, how much propane do I have left? Enough for the party we're throwing, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It can be a little cumbersome, but figuring out where to put it, you know, is always usually part of the conversation and where things are going to go. Another thing I've noticed a huge increase of are outdoor TVs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I feel like at least in my circle of friends, probably more than half the houses I go to, they all have an outdoor TV.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we even went to one friend's house for the Masters, and we were sitting on the patio watching it while the kids were like running through the sprinkler.
Yeah.
which got muddy beyond. But nonetheless, it's very cool. It is interesting, though, because there's outdoor televisions that you can buy that are specifically designed to be outdoors, which are substantially more expensive, but you definitely get a better quality adjusted picture for the brightness of the outdoors.
And weather resistance.
And the weather resistancy. Yeah. But even most of my friends I know that have outdoor TVs just kind of bought a cheap TV and buy the outdoor covers.
Oh.
Hmm. Which I think is really cool. We were actually talking about putting one in. I actually had a question while we're on air, and other people might have this question too. If you are mounting an outdoor TV onto the exterior of your home, I mean, what is that? Can you just drill into the outside of your house, or is there any risk of getting water in that way? Is there a special washer you need to use?
So the exterior, if it's stucco or masonry brick, you would have to use a special, well, brick especially, you can drill into it with a hammer drill and put a expanding anchor in there and then screw into that.
Okay.
So that'd work just fine.
Yeah. What about stucco?
Stucco, you would have to do the same thing, drill with a hammer drill probably through stucco because stucco's really hard.
Yeah.
And expanding anchor again in there.
Okay.
So that'd be nice and strong.
Are there specific anchors for outdoor use? Like inside?
No, but they're plastic, so they would weather fine.
Yeah, because that was like one thing that came up that I was worried about. I was like, will water get in if you're drilling these holes?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. Yeah, because as the screw goes in there, it just squishes that thing up tight. It would be completely
water. Okay, same thing with like a hardy plank or cedar siding?
So with wood or hardy plank, the hardy plank is a cement fibrous board, so you'd probably want to use a masonry bit for that too.
Okay.
But then you'd want to anchor it into the studs in your house, in the wall.
Yeah.
If you have plywood sheathing on the house or OSB sheathing, that and a hardy board would be strong enough with just some galvanized screws.
Okay.
But you wouldn't want to just hang from hardy board alone, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Came up with that question. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think just in general, people's really enjoying the outdoors and also doing a lot more, I don't know, customization or kind of built-in activities outdoors. I've even seen like an increase of outdoor, you know, ping pong tables available and outdoor just games and activities and things for outside. My son keeps asking us if we have a basketball hoop, but he keeps wanting us to like permanently paint our driveway to be like a half court.
Okay.
And I'm like, no. I was like, but here's some chalk.
Yeah.
But we do have a friend that has that, which is where he got the idea.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I mean, it's just really fun to see all the different things people are doing. You know, pickleball has become a huge, huge trend. I mean, you walk into Target and it's taken over half the store. But even people putting in pickleball courts.
It's healthy to be outside.
It is.
Even if you're just walking around the lawn or who knows what.
Yeah. I mean, it instantly makes you happier.
Yeah.
The outdoors.
Unless it's raining or gloomy
or snowing.
Freezing cold or something.
But we're in spring, so let's talk about that. Joyful spring.
A great time of year for being in Ohio.
Yes.
Yep. It's just challenging for the weatherman is the only issue. Is it going to rain? Is it not going
to
rain?
Yeah, they seem to always have trouble.
Yeah. Okay, you're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. Today we're talking outdoor living in beautiful Ohio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Gary Demas with the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. Glad to have everybody tuned in. If you're just tuning in, today Jamie and I are talking about outdoor living spaces. And honestly, we kind of got off track a little bit here in the first couple segments. So maybe we'll get on task
this time. There we go. I mean, technically we've been talking about the outdoors.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, another thing that, you know, comes to mind with the outdoors and depending on which way your home is facing and things that you're doing outside, of course, there's the sun, right? The sun is wonderful, but there's definitely that need and want for shade areas as well.
Yeah.
And some yards are set up great and kind of have that natural shade built in, or your house is your shade. And then other yards are set up just to be straight sun all day, no matter what, mm-hmm. and there's no way around it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we're building those ways around it, right? We're building those roof structures. We're building sunrooms or screen in porches, yeah. arbors, mm-hmm. yeah, anything of that nature, or pergolas, and kind of incorporating that into people's outdoor living spaces.
Yeah.
Because it really is an extension of your home. And since we live in Ohio, where there's so few really relative days that we can enjoy the outdoors, mm-hmm. we want to maximize them.
Yeah.
You know, there's such a thing as like that outdoor guilt when it's such a beautiful day. You feel guilty if you're inside doing
exactly.
something.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. You know,
how could I not That's be so taking true. Advantage of this? Mm-hmm. So being able to enjoy it as much as possible for as long as possible, you're definitely going to need some shaded areas. And yep. sometimes that's just as simple as one of the big umbrellas, mm-hmm. Which can be problematic with wind, depending on kind of the quality and weight of the umbrella that you have. And then there's, you know, like we mentioned, the structures that we build mm-hmm. in order to incorporate that shade. And those can be great, especially when they're done well.
Yeah.
I've seen them done not well. And there's certain things not taken into consideration. Like
what?
Like if the roof lines are a little awkward. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. There was one of the houses we walked through when we were looking for a home, and they had built kind of a separate roof structure, and it wasn't mm-hmm. attached to the house.
Okay.
And it was maybe, but it was only like a foot or two from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did it, from one of the windows, I'm trying to remember specifically, but from one of the windows, all you saw was the...
Oh, the framing?
Yes.
Okay.
And
that
it
would
just
not be good.
You know, it wasn't thoroughly thought through. Yeah. Or you could tell they skimped, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't do the research. They didn't hire a professional, maybe. Whatever the case is, you could tell they skimped on something.
Mm-hmm.
Like we always say, you really notice it when something's off.
Yeah.
And when you don't notice anything, that's when you know it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of one of those cases, but... I mean, I'm assuming the cost is typically the reason why someone does something attached to their home versus not attached to their home.
Not necessarily. I mean, okay. It just really depends on what you're doing and the circumstances.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there could be options either way that would make sense.
Yeah. I know. We actually recently did a project that we added, I don't know what it's, it's kind of like a pergola, kind of like a gazebo. It encased a nook, basically, into a house that kind of went in a U shape
mm-hmm.
and kind of encased that. And one of their complaints that they wanted to solve is originally it had kind of a pergola mm-hmm. built over top of it. And from the bedroom upstairs, that view was off-putting.
Okay.
They didn't like the way that it looked from the upstairs window.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we designed that roof structure for the new portion, that was really taken into consideration of mm-hmm. making it something beautiful to look at from there as well.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So being kind of aware of that kind of stuff before you dive in and have anything built or even buy one of the freestanding kind of covers that you can get at like a Costco,
mm-hmm.
you kind of want to think about where you're putting it, how high it is, how that'll affect the view from other spaces in your home.
Yeah. And what side of the house is it? Is it facing south, east, west,
yeah.
north? You don't have to worry too much about sun if it's on the north side.
Yeah. I know. And, you know, even I've seen where you can get the screens that roll down on the sides of them, which is kind of nice mm-hmm. for when that sun is setting or rising. There's definitely a lot of options out there now that really create just a lovely outdoor experience.
Mm-hmm.
We really enjoy we have a little mini projector we'll bring outside for the kids in the summer.
Oh.
And on this one wall in the back of our garage, it's just a blank
okay.
wall.
Okay, it's outdoor theater.
Yeah, so we always project it onto that wall and the kids get, you know, cushions and stuff to lay on. And
oh, well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, so we do that a lot in the summer.
Got your own outdoor movie theater.
Yeah, so that's fun. And we're lucky with the way our house is set up that we get shade in the afternoon
mm-hmm.
and into the evening. And so it's nice because we don't have to wait till like 9 o'clock when it's dark to start it. We can usually sneak it in around 8, which is nice because our kids are little. We don't want them up that late. They're monsters the next day. But yeah, you know, thinking through things, fun things like that, you know, maybe if you are going to do one of those even freestanding structures and you're going to put a screen on it, maybe the screen can be, you know, multi-used as a projection screen or something fun. But I think creating those fun experiences outside, you know, I mentioned we have a fire pit. And although I love a wood-burning fire pit, I sure wish there was a gas line to it, because that's a lot easier for how often our kids ask for s'mores. It would be really nice to just flip a switch.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we have a bonfire area out down by the creek. And so you just have to kind of watch the weather of the, which way the wind's blowing.
Oh, yeah.
Because with the real wood fire, you know, you got a lot of smoke, especially if the wood's not dried real well.
Yeah.
So sometimes we find ourselves moving the chairs around the fire.
Yeah, we definitely run into that too. Yeah. I know I've seen those. I know one of the brands is like the Solo stove, that it's a wood burning fire that produces less smoke. I've always seen like they make also, I don't know if that brand does, but other brands make an insert for a fire pit that are supposed to create less smoke. I've always kind of tossed around the idea of getting one of those because the smoke is definitely present.
Yes.
But it does create quite the ambiance and the warmth, of course. But, you know, also outside when you're looking at your home and deciding kind of what you want to do out there and how you want to utilize the space, whether it's going to be a deck, a paver patio, or what, you know, a lot of people have, you know, not only budgets to take into consideration, but also their usability of the space, long-term plans and goals for their home to take into consideration. And of course there's easements to take into consideration, setbacks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the different products that can be used for an outdoor patio area.
Yeah.
So decks, of course, would be one of the least expensive ways of doing it. And it's especially helpful if you've got some distance between the grade and your finished floor level. So if you have like 24 or 30 inches, maybe you want to be able to walk out of a dining room right onto a deck. It's the same level. So the deck would definitely be the way to go there. Now, people have been shying away from wood decks for a long time with all the synthetic products out there.
Yeah.
So that is going to definitely boost up the price of your deck. But when you do that, you definitely want to buy the higher level of outdoor material because, I mean, we've even installed a few years ago, you can take Trex, you can take some of these main brands, and if you buy their lesser product, if you're trying to meet a budget, some of those products don't hold up as well as you would think they would.
Yeah.
So you really, if you're going to go with a synthetic deck, you need to pick the higher grade decking, and it's not going to cup and swell and shrink on you like some of the lesser quality ones do.
I know. I think it's, you know, really hard time to be a consumer with there being so many options, and it's very hard to navigate, you know, quality products.
Well, almost always, if you buy the best product out there in the long term, it's going to end up being the cheapest
because
it's going to last and perform well. You're not going to have to tear it out 5 years later and redo it.
Yep.
That's definitely worth money.
Yeah.
Okay, Jamie, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Gary Demas, president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers, and Jamie Brotslavsky is here. She's president of the marketing department.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
All right. So, you know, we were just talking about different types of kind of outdoor materials, and we talked about decking. And then there's also a lot of, there's paver patios, which, you know, there's a lot of different paver options.
Definitely.
Some that are more porous, some that are more tile-like.
Yeah, kind of the sky's the limit on what you can pick there. But they're down on your grade, down at ground level, primarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to, if your grade has a slope in it and you're looking to build up, that's definitely where I think doing it right is certainly going to be worth it. Because if you don't build that foundation for those pavers really densely, I mean, they move so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really create some problems. I know when we had ours done at the old house, we had an area that kind of dipped off and we had to build like a retaining wall and had a lot of gravel put in for that spot. And it was funny because I remember talking to actually Mark Aubrey with Greenscapes, who we utilize a lot with Dave Fox. And I was, you know, I was like, well, can you just use the same paver stone all the way down the wall so it looks the same? He's like, we'll make it look good, but you have to use a retaining stone. He goes, trust me, you'll be happy in the long run. And he was right. But you know, thinking through all of that and talking to the professionals to make sure it's done right, even if you are going to do it yourself, you still want to make sure you're doing it right, you know, and make sure you've done your research, because gosh,
how many times do you want to do it?
It's an awful lot of work.
once is a good number.
It's an awful lot of work and it's an awful big expense. So you definitely want to do it right.
Then you have stamped concrete.
And even that, what's it called? Irrigated concrete with the little stones in it. Aggregated.
Aggregate. Exposed aggregate.
That's what there it is. But yeah, the stamped concrete has come such a long way.
It is absolutely remarkable. I mean, the fine detail that can be put into stamped concrete along with the colors, I mean, can make it look so realistic to real stone.
I know. And so low maintenance too.
Yeah.
You have stamped concrete. Yeah. Have you had any cracks or any issues?
No.
That's amazing.
No, it's holding up really well.
Really?
And looks great. And
it was interesting. My parents, they needed to get their patio redone, speaking of not having it done the right way the first time. And they had to get it redone because their steps were falling apart. They had kind of paver steps and they didn't build them up properly.
Okay.
And so they were kind of failing.
Yep.
So they needed to get it redone. And I kept telling them, I said, stamped concrete is, everyone I know that has it loves it, blah, blah, blah. And they had three people out that talked them out of doing stamped concrete.
Why?
I think, I don't know if it's that different, but they live in Cleveland, right in the snow belt. And so I don't know if the concrete with that much snow just doesn't hold up as well. But yeah, so they didn't do it, but I still think they should have. I definitely, if we have the aggregated, exposed aggregate or whatever it's called. And I would love to just have stamped concrete. Would be really nice. The exposed aggregate, it's a very terrible name. Anyways, it stains very easily.
Oh, sure it would. So porous and,
My gosh.
The texture is very coarse.
It drives me crazy. I can't power wash it enough.
But
yeah, it definitely stains very easily. If I have a chair in one spot and I move it a little, you can see where it was the week before.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It stains very easily. But it look, I mean, maintenance-wise, it's, other than that, if you don't care for that, it's non-existent. But I definitely think stamped concrete has come such a long way and has... I love the extent of the options with like the shape of everything and kind of...
And colors too.
And the colors, yeah. Because you can even stain them to be different colors, each little stamped area. So it looks like stone. It's definitely cool. I also like that you can, you know, kids can chalk on it. You can do whatever on it.
Chalk?
Chalk, yeah.
Okay. Well, stamped concrete may not work the best for that.
For chalk, no? I don't know. At our friends, they just have, theirs is plain gray.
Yeah.
Stamped concrete.
Okay.
And the kids always chalk on it still.
Oh, yeah, that would probably work okay.
Which when they used to do it on our paver patio, it just never.
Oh, that would be challenging.
Yeah, it never, A, they always got frustrated that it didn't work well. Mm-hmm. And B, it just never quite washed away well.
Oh, yeah.
We actually, one time a friend was over on, this was on our paver patio, and they used one of the like zinc sunscreens, which the zinc sunscreens are great for your skin. However, they're way thicker and it actually stained our paver patio.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Which shocked me and frustrated me. But yeah, so you got to be careful, a little bit more careful since they are more porous.
Yes.
But I will say we did get a... I'm losing the name of it now, but there's a certain kind of like gravel or mortar that you can put on your paver patios that really controls the weeds. It's a little bit more compressed. The name is escaping me at the moment. I don't know, but that helped a lot with the weeds coming through the paver patios because that's always kind of an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Roundup kind of helps with that too, right?
It does, but it's, you know, constant.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that we did that in the ceiling of the pavers, and mm-hmm. that helped a lot mm-hmm. with the weeds sure. coming through.
Sure.
But definitely lots of options on the outside. Even, you know, the little like pea gravel,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer, it's fairly easy. I've also seen they come up with sealants for the pea gravel and stuff too to make it not so loose.
Okay.
our fire pit area, it's kind of a circle with the fire pit in the middle, is all like pea rocks, little rocks and mm-hmm. things like that, which works perfect for that other than the kids throwing them.
Yeah, that is nice. Actually, we, Dave and I were at a client's house the other day and their driveway was all pea gravel.
Oh, interesting.
It just looks so nice and neat. And I honestly don't know how much upkeep that would be, you know, because the gravel's kind of loose.
Yeah.
And,
probably have to refill it maybe, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it can be a very pretty look.
Mm-hmm.
Or we actually put in a walkway last summer. There wasn't one between our patio and our driveway. And we just kind of put these big rectangular stones down. But we had talked about at the time putting pea gravel kind of around those stones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We ended up just doing it in the grass, but that would have been a good look as well. But yeah, there's so many options outside. And, you know, I think just depending on your home, the way your house faces, how you want to use it, and things like that, but truly treating it like an extension of your home, you know, you're never gonna regret it.
Mm-hmm.
My parents just recently redid their patio, and their old patio wasn't built well, and it was all kind of wobbly and it was terrible. And so they never went out there. And so they kept saying, oh, we're never out there. I don't want to invest money in it. We're never out there. I never want to invest money in it. But anyway, they ended up redoing their patio, and then they got new patio furniture, and they got it maybe 2 weeks ago. And my dad has his coffee out there every morning now.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, see, I mm-hmm. knew you would use it once it was nice.
Yep. But you know, that's why we build a lot of seasonal and screen rooms too.
Yeah.
Because there you can use it. You get much more use out of it in the Ohio weather.
Yeah.
If it's raining, if it's cloudy, the bugs are out.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice room that's kind of very outdoorsy.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you can open all the windows and feel the breeze, but you don't have to fight the bugs and all that kind of stuff. So those rooms are nice too. And we do a lot of those, don't we?
Oh yeah. We definitely do a lot of sunrooms, a lot of screened in porches, mm-hmm. Things like that. And incorporating them with a patio and landscaping, you know, that's where I said we work a lot with greenscapes, and that's where that kind of team coming together to make it all a cohesive space really works.
Yep. So the screen porch can kind of be your intermediate area, depending on weather and stuff. You step out into the screen porch, that doesn't work.
That's right.
Or if it's nice outside, you step right back out to the deck or patio or whatever.
Sounds lovely.
Okay, this is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. We appreciate you tuning in. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. Visit our website. It's davefox.com. We'll be back next Sunday morning.